So bring it on, Lord. I just pray, oh Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, that you would just prepare our ears and our eyes and our heart, oh Lord, to see, to hear, and to receive your word. Holy Spirit, I thank you, Lord, that you are always ready. You are always anxious, oh Lord, to get your word going forth, Lord. Because, Lord, it is your life that brings freedom, it brings salvation, it brings healing, it brings deliverance, hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord, that by your Spirit, oh Lord, your word will be delivered. Lord, I always look to you. You are always, always faithful. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Well, I want to welcome everyone here tonight. And we're going to be talking about lessons from 1 John chapter 1. Now, I've been talking the different times I've been up here about the heart, and I wanted to teach a lesson on tending to the garden of your heart, but the Lord had something else in mind. He kept pulling me back to this lesson, so I know there's a reason. So, he knows best, right? So, we're going to be talking about 1 John chapter 1. And, yes, yeah.
1 minute. You need to greet the folks, and it's back in your saddle, buddy. Good to see everybody. Tell a person next to you, you're really looking good today. All right. Just a couple of words of encouragement to you. During this time of sickness and all that kind of stuff, the Holy Spirit has quickened some scripture to me. One of them is, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. How many of you agree with that? Absolutely. And the other one is that God said he would renew our youth as the eagles. And one of the things that's happened in my life over the last couple weeks, last month or so, is that my blood pressure, my vitals, have gone down to when I was in my early 20s. And they haven't been there in years. And the only thing I can figure out, I'm not doing anything different, you know, other than 14 cups of coffee in the morning. No, I'm not doing that. But it's just enjoying the Lord every day, standing on his word, and giving him thanks. That's the biggie.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the continued work in our pastor. We thank you that he was healed. He is healed. Hallelujah. He is the healed of the Lord. That's where he is. That's where he stands. And that's where he will continue to stand. Hallelujah. The devil don't have a chance. He's already beaten. So introduction. So John's testimony of Jesus, he personally experienced Jesus. Wow. And the account that he had, what a personal relationship he had with him, right? It was written about 90 AD, over 50 years after the resurrection. His desire is for others to experience a relationship with God and one another. Jesus was just as alive and real to him as when he walked and talked with him in person. So John testifies of what he personally heard, saw, and even handled, which is your fill-in, with his hands. So 1 John 1, 1, and, 1 and 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and even our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen, and we bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. So, you know what? We have not physically seen Jesus, but we have experienced him. You know, I love coming to this place because we get to experience his presence really every Sunday, just multiplied over and over. You know, I always feel his presence at home when I pray, but oh my gosh, it is so much more when we come together in his name, right? And it's just glorious to experience him, you know, experience him. You know, John actually heard his words, the words that he spoke from his mouth, how precious that they, but you know what? We can hear him speak to us if we'll just be quiet. He speaks. We just need to listen. He's telling us that he loves us, you know, and he's so glad he laid his life down for us and that he would do it all over again. Can you hear that, him whispering that to you into your ears? Because he loves you. He loves you so much. You know, John saw the miracles firsthand that Jesus did. But praise God, we have seen so many miracles in this place. We have living miracles and testimonies in all these seats. I'm not sure there's one person that has not received a miracle from our Lord, our Savior, the lover of our soul, you know. We have known him. We've handled him. He has been a part of, we've heard his words. We've seen his movements in our lives, you know. How beautiful, how wondrous it is, what Jesus, this relationship that he has brought to us. Next thing, this is our testimonies of our personal experience with Jesus is the most powerful witness we can bring. You know, it's great that we can memorize scriptures and do all these things, but you know what will really impact someone the greatest is when you share a personal testimony of what God did for you. He's not some far-off God that you have to beg and say, please listen. He's right here. And he is ready to listen. He is ready to talk, you know. He's ready to have this wonderful relationship that he paid such a high price to have with us. Can you imagine that he would pay the price for me and for you? That he desired so much to have a relationship with you that he left heaven and he would be willing to die on the cross? What love he must have for us. Wow. So a lot of people think, oh, Lord, who am I to share Jesus with someone else? But that's all you need to do is share what Jesus has done for you, how he has made himself real to you. You know, if we looked at the woman at the well, was she qualified to go and preach the gospel? Well, Jesus must have thought so. Here's a woman that was married 6 times and was living with a man. But you know what? After she had experienced Jesus, she went and she told him, come and see the man that told me everything I've ever done. Could he be the Christ, the anointed one? And you know what? Everyone that knew her, they responded. They came out by the thousands to come and meet Jesus. She went and she shared a personal experience with the living Christ. You know, that showed a love and a compassion that she had never known before. And when you share with people that love and that compassion that he's poured out on you, and they see what it's done for you, oh my gosh, they're like, I want that. If he's real, I want that, you know. So it is truly the most powerful relationship, witness that you can bring is your own personal testimony. So there's a girl in here, I won't mention her name, because I wanted to ask her first permission. But, you know, she was saying, and almost timidly said, you know, I was talking to an old friend, he's a musician, and oh my gosh, he's just tattooed head to foot, and his life has just been, you know, just living it up, you know, all the time and everything. And he had messaged me saying he was depressed and even had thought about considering to take his life. And she goes, you know, Jesus has helped me, and I know he'll help you. Do you want to receive Jesus? And he said, yes. So she actually called him on the phone and led him through a prayer, and he's there boohooing over the phone. She goes, I knew he meant it, because there's no way this guy would cry like this. She just shared what God had done in her life. Even though she didn't feel qualified, she goes, I didn't feel worthy or even qualified to even say anything. But she only shared what Jesus, that she experienced personally with Jesus, a love and an experience that she had. She shared with him, and he wanted that too. All right. Also, you know, there's a lot of people that want to debate you about the Bible and what the Bible says, you know. And I had an uncle, he was a hippie, you know, He liked to smoke the weed, and he liked to argue and cuss and tattoos all over and all this other stuff. So I would try to quote scriptures to him. He goes, oh, that Bible's been disproven. I don't want to hear none of that. So, but then I started telling him some of my personal experiences that what Jesus had done for me, how he saved me, he changed my life, how he's healed me, you know, that he's real. And he melted that back. I kept trying to talk to him, but he just backed off. Like, your testimony is powerful of your personal experience with the Lord. So don't discount it. People are looking for that experience. They want to know that God, they know internally there is a God, and they're looking for that God. And to even think that he actually loves and he cares, it actually just breaks open their heart and they're ready to receive. So don't hold back. There's no qualifications except Jesus. You know, Jesus qualified us because he became part of our lives and we just want to share him. Amen. So 1 John 1:3-4. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And 4. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. So there are several things he talked about here. So why did John write this letter? That we may have fullness of joy. Are you lacking joy in your life? So where does fullness, which is your fill-in, of joy come from? It's first by knowing that we have eternal life, which comes from fellowship with the Father. There's no eternal life without knowing the Father, without experiencing the Father, all right? Having fellowship with the Son, there's no eternal life without experiencing and having fellowship with the Son. And fellowship with believers. See, the formula is not just the Father and the Son, but it's also part of the formula of having a fullness of joy is also fellowship with the believers. A lot of people discount that, but it is part of the recipe if you want to have the fullness of joy. Oh, you can have joy if you want to stay over here by yourself somewhere. But if you really want to experience the fullness of joy, you come to a church where the love of God is experienced and shared. And oh my gosh, what you've experienced before has nothing compared to when you come into the congregation of believers that love, truly love God and each other. John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now, a lot of people says, well, eternal life means to live forever. Well, guess what? That's not true, because Jesus gave us the definition of eternal life. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And that word know is not just I know about him. This is the know of how a husband knows his wife. Okay? Jesus didn't pay a price for you just to say, okay, you're saved, now sit here and wait. He wants to have an intimate, close relationship with you, each and every one of you. So Luke 6:38. Now, this is important because a lot of people are like, oh, it's not that important that we go to church. But one thing people miss about going to church, a lot of people says, I'm coming and I want to receive. I want to be blessed, you know. And a lot of times, and forgive me, but it's like I see them as going, wah, wah, feed me. Where's my bottle? You know, and baby Christians, okay, they can be that way. But, you know, eventually they should get away from that. They should be able to feed themselves and then also come in and jump in and help out also. But part of the Christian experience is not just receiving but giving, Okay. Now, a lot of times we use this scripture about giving money, but it's really giving away anything that God has given you. Okay. It says, given will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. This is a wondrous, glorious scripture. So, if God has shown you love, share that love with someone. You know, don't hold back. Don't think that what you have that God's given you is insignificant or nobody wants to hear. You should share it. Whoever would hear, share it. And what you know what happens? He's going to multiply that love even more in you. And if you give that away, well, he multiplies it even more. Oh, my gosh. You know, if God showed you or has healed you, share that with someone else. You know, and then that healing, a power will just resound and multiply in you. Okay. When you give your love, your joy, your peace and all that away, it multiplies when you give it away. So whatever God gives you, look to give it away if you want more of it. So the best place to do that is here in church, right? You have many, multiple opportunities to be able to share what God has shown you and given you. You know, if he gives you some new revelation that's, oh, absolutely amazing, you know, don't hold it back. Don't keep it hidden in your heart, you know. Come in here and share with someone. You know? And when you give that revelation away, then God will give you more. And that gets to happen here at church. Can't do it at home. Knowing that we have eternal life, which comes from fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son, and fellowship with believers. Okay? So the next one is joy, is the fill-in. Doesn't come from money, possessions, positions, power, things, or even people. All right? So that's what the world says. Oh, you'll be happy if you've got plenty of money, or you've got the biggest, best possessions, or the prettiest car, or the fastest car, or, you know, a pink Cadillac, or whatever. Some people are thinking that might make them happy. Or if I could just be the CEO, you know, of this company, then I'll be happy. Or, you know, if I have power and I say something, people do it, then I'll be happy, you know. Just having things, you know, like houses and whatever, you know. Or even people, even a husband and a wife. Guess what? Joy doesn't come out of a husband and a wife. Joy comes from the Lord. It's when a husband and a wife come together serving the Lord, you know, in unison, right? Out of serving the Lord and having that experience with him and being able to share with another, that's where joy comes from. Not because, oh my gosh, finally I'm getting married. Right? So your joy comes, your fulfillment comes, your fullness comes from him. And now it just gets to be multiplied with another one that's going the same way, doing the same thing to honor and glorify your God and King. So we know God through Christ. Jesus is the full and final representation of God. John 14, 9. Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" So what he was saying, you know, is if you want to know God, just read about Jesus. See how he acted, how he talked, you know. I asked my daughter, I said, you know, if God came, and I didn't know if I would be able to trick her with this or not, but I did. I said, if God became a man, what would he look like? What would he talk like? What would he act like? What do you think? She goes, well, and she kind of went on and on. I says, well, you could just read about it when, because it actually happened. It was Jesus. Jesus was the true representation of God the Father. And look how loving and kind and merciful and patient and just, oh my gosh, he was a beautiful, beautiful man, a beautiful, beautiful God, you know? So it says, who is God? Well, God is Jesus, of course. So the Old Testament was a progressive revelation of God. Everything was mounting up. God had a plan, and he was mounting up. You know, he was bringing till he brought Jesus, right? And then finally, he was able to show himself truly for us to see face to face, to hear him, to know him, how he acts and he talks, he looks, and all those things. So most people's view of God comes from the Old Testament, you know? And so I've talked to a lot of them, and you probably have too, where they're like, but he used the Israelites to come in and take out a whole, you know, country, you know, a peoples and everything. And how could that be a good God, you know? So that's how they see him. They see him as this mean, vindictive God, but that's not who he is at all. You know, just a side note, you know, I prayed. I said, well, God, you know, why did you have to take these peoples out? And so God sees us as the human race, right? We are man. So these people were said that they had fully sinned, or came to the point where they were fully in sin. I believe there was no way of redeeming these people. They have gone so far, and he had waited so long, and he had reached out to them just like he's reached out to the other nations. And because of that, it was time for them to go. You have to understand, as the human race, right, it's almost like a cancer eating away, and left alone, it would devour and destroy the rest. And because it could not be turned, it could not be healed, could not be changed, it had to be removed. He could not take the chance of letting that get to, especially Israel, which is the birthplace of Jesus Christ. A lot of people were like, why did God protect Israel so much? If you imagine them as the body, well, Israel was the womb that Jesus would be born to. So they had to have special protection, right? Because that's where Jesus, that's where our Savior was going to come from. And that's just a side note. let's see, Hebrews 1:1-3. God at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image, or the exact image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Jesus is the exact image. You see Jesus, you see God. So the word reveals, is your fill-in, who God is. God is love and God is light. 1 John 4:7. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. I don't think that one's the right one. Oh, that's John 4:7. That's 1 John 4:7. If you could find that one for me. He'll find it. There we go. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. You know, we get to experience the love of God, and now we get to share that love and help others to experience that love that God has brought. We are His children now. And as Jesus showed the love of the Father, so we are to show the love of Jesus to other people. So let's see, what happens when we get to know Him? So He wants us to know Him. But what happens when we get to know Him? We walk in the light. 1 John 1, 5, and 7 through 7. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If you're in those dark places, you need to get out of there. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, He is light, and we are children of light. We're bringing the light to those who have just been consumed by darkness. And one thing, you know, God has showed me in praying for people is that that light always overcomes darkness, right? So you can have a room pitch black, and if you go in there and you turn the light on, what happens to the darkness? It flees. So, you know, a lot of times when I'm praying for someone, what I see is that there's darkness there. And as soon as I say, in Jesus' name, that light shines forth in them, and that darkness has no choice, but it has to flee. So we are children of the light, and we are to go out and shine His light in this dark world. We are to reach out and shine that light so that those who have been consumed by darkness can see the light and be set free by that light. We all have the name of Jesus, and we all have His Spirit. So we say the name of Jesus. Before we say the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit's ready. And when we say the name of Jesus, He's moving. He is working, right? We can't do anything to heal anybody or set anybody free or anything. It's the Holy Spirit does it. But when we say the name of Jesus, then He moves and He acts, you know. That light shines forth and goes forth and sets the captives free, heals those who are you know, hurting, you know, and saves those who need saving. That's in you. You have that power in you. We are children of light. This world, people, and the devil all lay obstacles for us to trip over and sin. Oh, boy. But if we truly have continued fellowship with God, then He will lead us through them to the other side, to victory. This takes practice, right? To the degree we walk in fellowship with God will be the degree we have victory in walking in the light, okay? So I'll tell you an experience. So it started getting a little warm, you know, here, and then I'm like, man, the AC's running, but it's not getting cooled down. What's going on? So I crawl underneath the house, and I saw one of the pipes busted off the AC unit. So I said, oh, my gosh, we're going to have to get another AC unit. And I talked to my AC guy, and he goes, 25 years old, catastrophic problem. You got to get a new unit. That'll be $8,000. I'm like, $8,000? I said, well, I'm not going to fear. I'm going to go to my father. He wasn't surprised by this. He's got a plan. I just need to know what his plan is. So we went to him, and he just said, you know, look online. And I looked online, and I found the same units that he was going to sell us. I'm like, well, Dad, you know what? I can probably get these installed. I said, the only thing I can't do is one particular part, which is solder the copper lines. So I called my AC guy back, and I said, would you be able to solder this and do the Freon test? He goes, I can, but I can't give you the warranty. So me and my wife, Diane, we had prayed, and we felt that that's what we were supposed to do. We were supposed to buy the unit, install the unit, and then have the AC unit kind of do those last things. So I could have said, well, dang it, I missed God. That must have not been God. But no, I didn't believe that. I believe that we heard from God. So I said, well, God, you know, you're not surprised by this either. What's next? So He put in my heart to call someone here at the church, and I called them, and they're like, yeah, I think I can help you out. So instead of, you know, in the end, instead of it costing $8,000, it costs about $4,500. praise God. And then a little bit later, we got a check in the mail for 3,000 of it. So God had a plan. Okay? So walking in the light, staying in fellowship with Him, knowing that you're hearing from Him, right? Proving it out, knowing that He is speaking and that you can hear because you're His children, right? Let's see. Oh, it's kind of like a GPS, right? It shows you where you are. I don't want to be here. I want to be here. I don't want to be sick. I want to be healed. I don't want to have lack. I need provision and, you know, and all these things, right? And so here's the address. Well, you know what? The Holy Spirit is the GPS. You come to say, God, this is where I'm at. Of course, He knows where you're at, but I want to get here, right? And we might think from, well, the way you got to go is just do this and do this and do this to get to there. But you know what? What we need to do is say, Holy Spirit, you have a plan. I am going to grab hold of your hand, and you're going to lead me each and every way. Now, you may think, oh, I got to go this way and then go this way and do this because so-and-so said if they did this and then God, you answered. And then over here, well, this person said this and God did this for them. And so I'm going to do that. And no, what we need to do is be quiet. We need to know that the Holy Spirit has the answer. He knows how to get us from this place to that place if we all just listen. Now, a lot of times we're on the journey and we're on our way. We heard from Him when we're on the way, and all of a sudden we come to a traffic jam that we can't get past. Well, no, it's kind of like that AC problem, you know. I'm at a traffic jam. Well, you know, Holy Spirit, you need to redirect. So He redirected me, you know, us, which way to go. And then got us back on track until the end to where now we got a nice, cool house. Hallelujah. Boy, I tell you what, I like it nice and cool at night, and the blanket's just on top of me, and I'm all snug. Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Jesus. But, you know, He is speaking, but are we listening? Sometimes we're on the way, and He may say, turn left, and we're like, are you sure? That I know I'm supposed to turn right, so I'm just going to turn right. And then you go over here and get lost for a while. All right, Holy Spirit, I guess you're right. Let me go back your way. He will lead us. He speaks and we can hear. All the wonderful stories that Pastor tells always starts with God said. And because He heard, and then He did, and then He got to experience, you know? And so what? You guess what? We can all do the same thing. What a wonderful example He's given us, right? Oh, my gosh. We have come to a situation that all of a sudden we've been told we need surgery. All right? So what do you do? One person said, no, you got to stand in faith. You can't do that. You don't want to do that. And other people, oh, you have to. If you don't, you're going to die. You know? Oh, you know? What do you need to do? You need to sit down and get quiet and say, Holy Spirit, you know how to get me to from this place to victory. You tell me which way to go. And guess what? Sometimes He will tell you to go the way of surgery. Sometimes He'll go, no, you stand, all right? And whatever way, be fully convinced in your heart, and you stand in faith, and God will get you where you need to go. He's the author and finisher of your faith, right? He knows where you are and how to get you there. Trust in Him in each and every situation you come to, because He cares. It doesn't matter how big it is or how small it is. So, medications, you know. Some people are like, oh, you just need to take that medication and throw it away. And other people are like, no, you've got to follow what the doctor says exactly or you're going to die. So I know I'm over dramatic on the other side, but, you know, again, we've got to say, Holy Spirit, what do you say? You know, and maybe like with something I had, you know, when I had heartburn terrible heartburn. Just had to sit up at you know, with pillows behind me, and even then I would have to jump out of bed and go throw up, you know. Hard to sleep. And then we had a word of knowledge given the church, saying that someone here was dealing with that same thing that I was dealing with. If that's you, stand up. I'm like, that's me. And so there was like, oh, lay your hands on them. We're going to pray to agree. And so they did it. And I was like, oh, praise God. This is it. This is it. Hallelujah. You know? And then I went home and I was experiencing the same thing. I still had this terrible heartburn. I was like, thank God, wait a minute. You said. But, you know, I'm like, okay, but God, what else is going on here? You tell me. And he goes, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take your medication like you have been, okay? But I want you to write healing scriptures, put them right above your medicine cabinet, and before you take your medicine, read those healing scriptures. Then take your medicine. After about a week, he goes, now take half. So, okay, I took half. And about a week later, he goes, all right, you can stop taking it. And praise God, I was healed. My doctor tried every medication that was out and that would come out for that, and it didn't touch it. But Jesus had the answer. Now, I could have given up on this journey, you know, but I trusted in him. And I knew that he would get me where he wanted me to be and I wanted to be. Amen? Hallelujah. We walk in the light. He's the one that can get us to victory, whatever that victory might be. So we should desire godly fellowship. The recipe for the fullness of joy calls for one part fellowship with God, one part fellowship with Jesus, the Word, and the third part is fellowship with the fellow believers. Mix those together and you get joy. You can have a small batch, a medium batch, or a large batch. It depends on how much you want to make. So the more time you spend with God and the Word and in fellowship, the more you'll get. I know it's true in my life. Someone that does not have fellowship with other believers is foolish. Now, my first answer down there was stupid, but God told me, no, I shouldn't do that. Proverbs 18:1. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. Right? It is not wise to separate yourself. It is unwise. Not smart. Foolish. You know, he's seeking after his own things, you know. He's got his own plans. And so, you know what? He's missing out. So Jesus created the church for fellowship and to show his love through one another. Hebrews 10:24 and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We, you know, we talked earlier about it's not, you know, we do come to receive, and God has an abundance to give. Not just of his presence, you know, but also he has an abundance to give through you guys, you know. When I come in here, I'm expecting to be blessed. But I also come in here expecting to be a blessing. I come ready to give, right? I'm looking around and seeing if someone the Holy Spirit highlights somebody. And I go over there and start giving them a hug and start kind of going around looking at them, you know. Say, what's going on with you? You know, but I could feel my heart. I could feel the Holy Spirit coming, just pouring out, you know, going toward that person. So I know he's wanting to do something. I just got to say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do here? You know, and just listen and then pray according to, or say what according to what He's wanting me to say. But I come to give, and that's how you should come too. Every one of us is important, you know. God may have put in you exactly what that one person needs, and if you just hold back, too busy, you know. I talk to my favorite person. I don't have time for anyone else. You know, that person may miss out on what God has for them because He's put it in you. So when you come in here, be ready, be sensitive, right? When it's kind of hard to be joyous when you have needs and you feel alone, when you're dealing with stuff. But that's why He put us, the church body, here, to be there for one another. Church is where we receive a blessing, but also where we are the blessing. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. From whom the whole body joined and knit together by every joint supplies, according to effective working by which every part does its share. When every part does its share, it causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Okay? There's no insignificant person or believer here. Everyone has a part to play. Everyone has something that God has put in them that everyone else needs. If you just can figure that out and be ready to give it, you know, I cannot fulfill everything that God wants me to do, right? Or even grow into the person that He wants me to be without you giving what you have to me. Right? We need each other. We have to be there for one another and be ready to give out. It's important. And let's go on to 1 John 1, 8 and 9. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay. This is a very important scripture, right? Actually, it's a scripture that kind of confused me because I was told, well, if all my sins are forgiven, what do I have to confess? But yet I knew in my life there was sin. There were still things that I was falling way short on, and I needed answer. And then I actually found out that this scripture was the answer. Some people say, well, this first, you know, is this for an unsaved or a saved person? Well, He's writing this to believers. So this is something He wrote to us, and I believe it'll help us out if we can understand it, okay? So the first part, if you notice, is if we confess our sins. When you're not asking for forgiveness. You're just confessing. You're saying, this, I messed up. I sinned. This is wrong, all right? Because why are we just confessing it? It's because Jesus already paid the price for it. It's already forgiven, right? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, okay? So when we come to Him, we have a covenant with Him that our sins are forgiven. So when we come to Him with this sin, then it's automatically forgiven. We don't have to beg. We don't have to plead. We don't have to do any of those things. Jesus paid for all sins, all right? But the second part is He forgives us, but then He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. All right. Let's see. So forgiveness has to do with our relationship with God, our vertical relationship, right? We come to God and says, God, I'm sorry, I messed up again, you know? And then what He does is He faithfully forgives us and cleanses us. We already have been forgiven when we receive Christ for all sin, past, present, and future. Hebrews says it very well, Hebrews 9 and 12. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own precious blood, he entered the most holy place once for all. One time, he only had to do it one time, and he did it for all, having obtained eternal redemption. It's never going to end. The price that he paid was enough for everyone. He only had to pay it once, and it's eternal. The second part is the cleansing, okay? Cleansing, which is number two, you fill in, cleansing, has to do with our relationship on earth. What's going on here? Our horizontal relationships. So our relationship with others needs cleansing sometimes. Our relationship with our heart, which affects our mind and emotions, needs cleansing. Not giving the devil a foothold by confessing sin. Or I guess, yeah. By confessing sin, we don't give him a foothold. So the first part here says cleansing with others. We must be quick to forgive others and ask forgiveness. It's very important to God that we are walking forgiveness, you know. He says, you know, even the Lord's Prayer says, you know, forgive me as I forgive others, you know. He told a story about a rich ruler going through his books, and here's this guy that, you know, I'm just paraphrasing, owes $1 billion. Oh, where is this money? I don't have it. And that's who we were, you know, at one time. We don't have the money to pay for our sin and to get ourselves out of this hole, you know. So he goes, you know what, sell him, his family, and everything he has to pay me. And he begged him, said, Lord, please, please, you know, be patient with me. And you know what? From his heart, he forgave him all of that. Oh, my gosh, $1 billion forgiven. Can you imagine? Then he goes out and sees someone that owes him, you know, a few thousand dollars and decides that, well, I'm going to throw him in jail until he pays me everything he owes me. And when I believe it was the angels that saw it, you know, went back and told the ruler, he says, take him, throw him in the prison until he pays me back everything he has me, and then I'll turn him over to the torturers, and he will stay there until he pays me back everything. And I'll share something that happened in my life. I was married once before, you know. I've been married to Diane about 23 years now, but before that I was married to another lady, and met at church and everything like that, but eventually she didn't want to be a wife, and she didn't want to be a mom. She just wanted to go do her thing, you know, and unfortunately she fell in a bad way. And so it really hurt, and I had a very hard time forgiving her, you know. And it got to the point where I really feel that I was experiencing exactly what the story says, that I was turned over to the tormentors. I was being tormented by I believe, demons. I was grinding my teeth at night because they were playing these videos in front of me about my wife doing things that I didn't want to have anything, you know, to any kind of thoughts of, and other things that, you know, she was doing just to torment me, you know. Couldn't sleep. Oh my gosh, it was just absolutely horrible. Until a brother came in and said, "What is going on with you?" Oh no, you have to forgive. I don't want to forgive her. I want God to get her. She did me wrong, you know. I haven't moved from here, you know. I haven't done anything wrong. Maybe not too much anyway. But he goes, no, you have to forgive her. So we need to forgive her and ask God to bless her. Do I have to? Well, brother, do you want to get free? I'm like, yeah, I want to get free of this. This is horrible. And so we knelt and prayed. And then, you know, I had to kneel and pray some more. And then, because it kept coming back, and I kept having to say, God, I do forgive her. I don't feel like forgiving her, but I'm going to forgive her because you told me to. And I ask that you bless her, even though I want you to get her. But Lord, bless her. To the point, eventually, I actually felt like, God, I really, truly just forgive her, you know? And I truly, truly want you to bless her. And when that happened, then I was set free. I was set free. I didn't have to deal with those things any longer. And I learned my lesson. I never want to go back there again. Forgiveness is extremely important to God. It will steal from you. You're demanding your rights. And now, oh, that's great. But you're missing out on so much more that God has to give you if you'll just do what he asked you to do concerning forgiveness. So cleansing for ourselves, our own heart condemns us and needs cleansing. You know, our heart knows what's right and wrong. And when we do wrong, you know, it's going to condemn you. But if you do wrong again, it's going to go, come on, what are you doing? And then you do wrong again, and he goes, eh, I guess this is us. It gets so hard. It gets hardened to the voice of God, right? And when your heart becomes hardened, it bankrupts your faith. Your faith comes from your heart. And if your heart is sick and it's not right, your faith is not going to work right. It's important that we come to God and say, God, you know what I did was wrong. I'm sorry. You know, thank you for your forgiveness because of Jesus. And now I pray that you would cleanse me, cleanse my heart of this, right? And so say someone used an example of donuts. He loved donuts, you know. He can go down a liquor aisle and not even blink, you know. But oh my gosh, if it was a donut shop, woo! He is going in there and he's going to get that donut. He goes, even before he got down the block where the donut is, he starts hearing about these donuts. He can smell the smell, you know, all those things and stuff like that. And he's like, I know my heart shouldn't do this. I'm overweight. I'll only be doing this. But, oh, my gosh, it's almost like he's forced. That wheel just goes on its own into that place somehow. And then he goes in there and he comes out with a dozen of donuts, you know. But to get free from that is say, God, you need to recognize that it is sin. I am sorry. I failed again. I turned in this donut place again, and I got a whole dozen of donuts. Please forgive me. I'm so sorry. Now cleanse me. But the cleansing comes, you know, when the cleansing comes, it is you being set free from that, okay? So all of a sudden you're driving the next day, and then you've got the same thing going on, and you wind up going in there again and coming out with a dozen of donuts. And you go, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I know this is not right. You know, cleanse me, set me free from this in Jesus' name. Well, the next day, you're able to go on just buy it just fine. You know, next day, oh, here it comes again. The thing is that until you're completely free, just apply this, you know, 1 John 8:9. And what you'll see happens is all of a sudden that desire that you could not seem to control is no longer in control of you. Okay? The last thing is, not giving or cleansing, not giving the devil a foothold by confessing sin. You know, if we hang on to sin, the devil has, it's almost like the door is open and he is able to get in. But as soon as you come to God and say, God, I am sorry I did this, you know, please, you know, cleanse me for this in Jesus' name, that door is shut. He no longer has that access. So it's important that we do that. So not giving the devil a foothold by not confessing our sin. Cleansing with others, must be quick to forgive and ask for forgiveness. Cleansing for others, ourselves, our own heart condemns us and needs cleansing. Cleansing us from the devil and his works, we stop the inroads of the devil. And the reason I'm going through this fast is we've already run out of time. If a man says he does not sin, he is a liar. We all sin. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. That's why we need Jesus. That's why he had to die on the cross, praise God. And he covered it all right? So in conclusion, We are not trying to overcome sin. Sin had already overcome us. Jesus overcame sin for us. Today we walk in relationship with God, who is light, and we enter into Christ's victory. Amen. Thank you, Lord. The answer is saved. Had to do with an unsaved or saved person? The answer is saved. One is forgiveness. Two then is cleansing. Okay. So I hope that hopefully that helped. I really believe this was for someone here. Like I said, I was planning on sharing something else, and the Lord kept me bringing me back here.
Above the saved. Mm-hmm. Up to foolish.
We have all sinned. There are two aspects here, forgiveness and cleansing. And so then we talk about forgiveness and then cleansing. Sorry. I was jumping around a little bit there. Sorry about that, guys. Okay. All right. Well, love you guys.